Sunday mornings at Yalnai Vineyard Church. Enjoy.
One more. Sorry, Justin. Okay, so Leonie, we're going to move out to the second picture here. So the second picture, what does that look like, guys? Doctor's office. The doctor's office. What kind of feelings, what kind of reactions does that bring up for you? Anxiety? Yeah. Anyone else?
Nervous.
What'd you say? Healing. So nerves, healing.
Needles,
yes. You know, my kids refuse to go if they're going to get needles. It's hard. You got to make a deal, right? You got to work it out, make a plan. Okay. Leonie, can you show the third one? Easy enough. Grocery store?
Expensive,
yes. Expensive produce? Sure. I can do that. I'll put it up there. Thank you. Abundance, is that what you said? Yeah. Hungry? Hunger? Yeah. All right. That's good. Thank you, Janaya. So hopefully you see some of the words here, right? Some in the back. It would be complicated to try to have it all here. But anyways, if you look at those, would you say that those are rave reviews? Some are worse than others, right? Some pictures evoke different reactions. Some are worse than others. Agreed? In all three of them, you can see that we go to these places in most cases because we have to. Not necessarily because we want to, but we have to go there. Now look at the list. And nobody said love. Agreed? You occasionally can hear somebody talk about love, that they love their grocery store. But that's sometimes when it's in comparison to a different grocery store. Does that make sense? We say we love the grocery store when we're comparing it to something. And the same thing could be said about a doctor's office. Sometimes you like your doctor, and you love going to that doctor as opposed to a different one. Is that fair to say? We won't say we love the space. We might not love what we have to go do. We might love the doctor that's tending to you, but we might not love what we have to go and do there, right? Now, I'm going to put another image up on the thing. And I wonder what people would say when they see this picture. And I don't want you to say it out loud, so don't say it out loud, but there's the image. That is our church. And, you know, like I said, don't say it out loud, but what response does that emit in you? What do you feel when you see a picture of our church? Do we think about church the same way we think about going to the dentist's office? The doctor's office? The grocery store? Is this just a place that we feel we have to go to? Or is there more to it? Think about people who are not with us today, or maybe people who haven't stepped into a church in a long time or ever. I'd be willing to guess that some of them will describe coming to church like we would describe going to the doctor's office. And based on their experience, it probably wouldn't be far from the truth. Now the question is that what God intended when he created the church? What was his idea about this community? What was his idea for the community of people? What was his idea for his people? I believe that the Bible also tells us, no, that was not God's plan for the church. I believe that God wants us to love the church. Amen? Our vision is about knowing and obeying Jesus, about making him known to others by loving people. We have decided that loving people is through presence, through welcome, and hospitality. That is who we are here at the Vineyard. And I'll say that again because we don't say it enough. Our vision is about knowing and obeying Jesus, about making him known to others by loving people. We have decided that loving people is through presence, welcome, and hospitality. That is who Yellowknife Vineyard is. And we want people to have not any similar reactions to any of these. Does that make sense? Would you agree with me on that? Now, the loving part, it's not about love like when we see in movies or news and magazines. That's not the love that we're talking about. But love the church as he intended it to be. And he is God. That's what this series is going to be about. We'll learn how to be a community. How to be a community that God intended us to be. Now, before we jump into more details about what that means, I'd like to pray and ask God to speak to our hearts from the Word. Lord, as we engage in learning about what you intended your church to be, we ask that you open our ears, open our hearts, and that you would come and be amongst us and come and let us feel your presence and the guidance towards what you want for us and this church. Amen. Now, Aaliyah did a great job reading. I know there was busyness and craziness, and sometimes it's hard to hear her. So I'm going to repeat the verses that she read. And this says, John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the word of God. Now, the verse is a prelude of the church to come. The church will start in Acts, but here is where we find Jesus meeting with his disciples, telling them how his followers should be, how they should be known, what the reputation will be of his community he's creating. This will be people known for the love for one another. True people are meant to love one another. It's not optional. It's not elective. It's a command from Jesus. And as I said before, we want to obey Jesus. We are to love one another. But what does that mean? What does it mean to love one another? When we say we want to love the church as God intended it for us to be, what do we mean by love? Now, I'll give you some examples here as an illustration. When our family visits Ontario, both our extended family is in Ontario, different parts of Ontario, but our family is in Ontario. When we're going to visit, we make a plan, and we think about things that we love to do. So we ask our kids. Some of you might be new, but my wife and I have four kids. So we asked him, what is it that you love? What do you want to do when we go to Toronto? And one of the things that always comes up is going to Mandarin. Does anybody know Mandarin? So Mandarin is a Chinese restaurant in Ontario. For those of you who don't know, it's a Chinese restaurant. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet Chinese restaurant in Ontario. And my kids love going to Mandarin. They like to eat a Mandarin. The kids love going because they get to go, they sit at the table, they get to make their own choices about what they want to eat. They get to decide how many times they want to go up to the buffet and bring the stuff back. And, you know, we have... My son sometimes puts a lot of stuff on his plate, and then he tries to finish it all. And then you have my daughter who put one or two things in her plate because she likes to get up and go get more. So you see, Jess and I get to see different ways of thinking. And you see that they really enjoy being there, and they love going there. Jess and I love watching our kids enjoy going to that restaurant. So I would say that we love the restaurant. Would you agree? With my description, does that sound like, right? Now, another example is, I have a 7-year-old Zeke, our old Zeke. We're very intentional about the things we do with our kids. The other day, I took out a new board game. It's a new board game to be intended to teach coding. There was a day that I came back from work, and Jess was getting dinner ready, and I said, well, you know, let's keep the kids busy. So I took out the game, and we played for about half an hour. I played the game with Zeke. He decided, you know, the different steps, how he was going to code, how he was going to get one mouse to the other, and the mouse has to get cheese. It's just a board game. He loved the time we had. We had a great time playing together. Then when we put him to bed, I was tucking him in bed at night, and one of the questions that I always ask him, you know, what was the best part of your day? And he said, I really like playing that game, Dad. He calls me Papa. I said, Papa, I really like playing that game. And then he said, I love you, Papa. And I said, I love you too, buddy. I love my son. I love all my sons. I love my daughter. I love my wife. Sorry. But what do I mean when I say I love my church? What does it mean to love one another? Does he want us to love one another like our family loves our experience at the restaurant, at the Mandarin, when we go and visit? Does he want me to love the church like I do my son? Thank you. What does he mean? With the restaurant, we're experiencing something given to us. It's a place where we go and we eat. It's a place offering us something in exchange for our presence there. The restaurant fed us, and it provided a moment that we could appreciate as a family. If that experience itself was excellent, and I would say it was, I give a positive review on it, and I recommend it to others. So if anybody goes to Ontario, go visit Mandarin. If it was the opposite experience, though, I wouldn't return, and I wouldn't tell others to go eat there. With my son, I was experiencing an important relationship. My son is somebody who is intrinsically connected to me. My love for him isn't based on what I'm receiving or what I'm experiencing, but based on who he is and what is involved in our relationship is connection. He is intrinsically connected to me, to Jess, and to the rest of his family. I love him, I care for him, I play with him. We go through life together. That journey might bring some not so great experiences. I can remember one when we were giving him a bath when he was little and he decided to grab my razor. And you couldn't take the razor out of his hand because if you pull the razor, you slice his fingers, right? But those are experiences that happen and you can't do anything about it. He was fine, by the way. But, you know, as first parents, you're always freaking out and you worry, right? I don't rate my son. I don't give him a rating like I would give a rating to a restaurant. I just love him. The church was never meant to be like a restaurant. It's meant to be based on relationships. This begins first and foremost in our relationship with Jesus. And through that relationship with Jesus, then we are connected to one another. Jesus loves us, and he brought us into relationship with him. He brought us into relationship with himself. His death on the cross was an act of love for us, for you. Now, we study in the book of John all summer, and early in the book of John, we are told it was because God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us, that we might have real or eternal life. He intentionally loved us and served us. In being brought into that relationship, we aren't only brought into our relationship with Jesus, but we're also brought into our relationship with one another. Being in a relationship with Jesus means being part of the church, part of his kingdom, part of the family of faith. Many people treat the church like a restaurant. If the experience isn't to my liking, then I'll find somewhere else, or I just won't go at all. That is beyond unfortunate. We need to make sure that people have an experience that doesn't reflect any of the words that I hear. And if somebody experiences that, it's a connectedness that we have with Jesus to serve those people and help them pass that experience so they can have a different experience. Now, this sets up expectations for the church. When you have this idea that the church is meant to serve you, or if I like it, or it sets different expectations for the church that the church was never meant to fulfill. And we have to be honest as well. That is not relationship focused. It's self-focused. It's about what you feel and how you feel when you go somewhere. And that's not loving as Jesus loved. The church is not supposed to be like that. You will experience a love for the church when you intentionally love the church. You will have a deep sense of love for the church when you actively and intentionally practice love for the church. The opposite is also true. When you don't intentionally love the church, then you won't experience a love for the church. We'll love the church when it's about relationship, not when it's like a restaurant. What does it look like to intentionally love the church? To be in community with one another as God intended it to be? Well, as you saw in the video at the beginning, hopefully you saw it. If not, I'll remind you, that is what we're going to talk about in this series. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to love the church. And if you see in the screen there at the bottom, we're going to talk about it through community, service, giving, and sharing. That's what we're going to talk about. What does it mean to love the church through community? What does it mean to love the church through service? What does it mean to love the church by giving? And what does it mean to love the church by sharing? Now, those are what's to come, but I want to give you a quick overview of what that is. And the first one is community. Love by connecting. Being in community, in fellowship, in relationship with each other. It's more than knowing people's names and where they sit on a Sunday. A friend visited and she's like, where do I sit today? Because I don't want to take anybody's seat. It's a reality of churches, right? But that's not what connecting a community is. On Sunday mornings, we come, but we also love one another and we stand alongside one another. Being connected with one another is ensuring no one stands alone. That is love in community. Now, love by serving. God has given each one of his followers, each one of us, supernatural, empowered abilities to encourage and help each other in community. Did you know that you have superpowers? We're going to talk about that. And then love by giving. Yes, we're going to talk about giving, but probably not in the way that you expect. In fact, we won't talk about all the tithing and percentages and those things. We won't even try an ill-planned guilt trip for you so you would give more. We won't do that. We'll simply talk about giving as an indicator of love. And then is love in sharing. The love that Jesus gives to us and that we can have for one another isn't to be hoarded within the walls of the church. The love that we have is for our community. The love that we have for one another is also meant to show our community that we love Jesus. Now, today, for reasons beyond my control, do you see that logo? I love my church. We'll have some t-shirts that say, I love my church. And if you want one, you can come talk to me. But what would happen if you wear that shirt around the community? What questions would arise? What kind of feelings would people have? And I'm hoping that those feelings will be of, well, what church do you go to? Right? Why do you love your church so much? And as we learn how to love the church, we learn how to love one another, but we'll also learn how to share that with our community. If we aren't sharing the love of God, our words and deeds might go unnoticed. So I invite you to come back. I invite you to stick with us for the next 4 weeks as we look at the various ways that we can intentionally love the church and see what is God's intended plan. What did God intend for the community of faith? Now, if you're here with us today and don't have a relationship with Jesus, I invite you to stick around as well. Now, some of you might have had a negative experience in church in the past. And for that, I am truly sorry. We had a conversation with one of our church members this past week, and we were talking about how things are going, and she said, I feel bad, but I think you need to know this. And she said, I had somebody that I know, an acquaintance, come to the church. He came to church. And she said, but then he left. And then he communicated with her. And he said, I went to the church and nobody spoke to me while I was there. And, I don't know this person, but all I can say is I'm sorry you had that experience. That is not who we want to be. That is not who God intended us to be at His church. We're intended to love one another. We intended to stand beside each other. And I really am truly sorry for those who have had a bad experience in this church and in any other church. That's not what God intended. But what he did intend, we're going to find out. So why don't you join us for the next 4 weeks, and we'll do that together. Now, before that, there's two things I want you to think about as you go today. Practicality. I like to give people practical things to do. And one of the first one of those things is let people know that you love your church. Why do you love your church? Why do you love church? Maybe it's, after service is finished, we'll have coffee. There's still snacks, so you can have a snack. Please help us eat some snacks. But maybe it's having a conversation after the service with one another here and say, why do we love church? And if you don't know how to answer that question, then let's think about that for the next week before we come and learn more about how to love the churches. Think about that. Why do we love, or why don't you feel like you love the church? The second point is to get connected. I really want people to come to our church and not feel like nobody talked to them. Right? So let's get connected with one another. Let's talk to one another. Let's check in with one another. Let's connect. Those are the two things. Either share why you love your church, or think about why you don't have an answer to that, and then get connected with somebody else in the church. Make connections. Let's get to know one another. It doesn't matter where we sit, right? Let's just connect with one another. It's going to be an exciting journey. I'm excited. My kids are excited as I try to share things with them. I was getting emotional when I was talking about my son, but God works in mysterious ways. And as I wrote my sermon, well, I've been writing for over a week, but I was writing. I went home one evening, and I looked at Zeke, and I said, "You know what? I remember when we played that board game?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I used that in my sermon. You're gonna hear me?" And he's like, "No, I won't." I'm like, "Oh yeah, you're right. You're in Sunday school." But I said, "I'm gonna use that in the sermon." And then this is when it hit me, because he said, "Actually, I was thinking about that today, Dad. During my homeschooling today, my mom asked me a question, and his answer was talking about the board game. On that same day, my son at home was thinking about a board game that I was putting into our sermon." And that, for me, is confirmation that God is at work. And it has nothing to do with who I am, but who he is and how he wants to display that to my community of people. And I want you to experience that. I want you to experience that assurance that God is at work in everything we do. Whether we see it sometimes or not, he is at work. He is always with you. He loves you. And we're going to get to know what it means to love one another in the way that God intended us to be. Amen? Now, we won't have a worship song now after the sermon, but again, you are welcome to stay and have coffee. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating in today's call festivities. It is great to have you. If you're new, please don't go away without touching base. I would love to connect and to stay connected. And I pray that God will speak to you, that God will let you know, let you feel that you are loved, because he does love you. And I'm hoping that he will speak to you about what it means to love the church, and that we would have conversations as we go. And I pray a blessing upon you, and that God will shine his face upon you and give you peace. Amen. Put some music there in the back.
Thanks for listening. We hope you can join us next week. Have a blessed week.